stored all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. If you're here today and you're crying out in trouble, I just want to tell you, he's going to save you from the distress. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. His word brings healing and deliverance. His word brings salvation. Would you just stand up as we honor his word really quick? I just feel like we need to stand. We show him honor when we read his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Every time you step into this house, we're going to read the word. Why? Because it brings healing and deliverance. The word became flesh and dwelt among them. He's here. He's here right now. Some of you need healing. Some of you need deliverance today. I stepped into this room today and I needed healing. My goodness, it's kind of crazy. This is crazy. This is stupid. You're going to be like, what was this guy thinking? My daughter had softball, end of year softball party last night. And it was parents versus kids, kickball. And I just got to testify. I'm like, this is crazy right now. I went too hard in kickball last night. Like, I was just like, I'm going to dominate these sixth grade girls. And I tell you what, like, my first at bat, I just went up there. And I bombed it. I mean, it was over their heads to the fence. And I take off. I'm sprinting. I'm like, I'm going to get in the park home run. And I'm rounding first. And all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I've never felt this before, I felt a pop in my leg. I was like, oh, no. I almost went down. I just slowed down a little bit. I just went to a slow jog. My kick was so deep, I still scored a home run. Don't worry. I've never felt that before. I was sick to my stomach. I thought I was going to throw up. And I just kind of, you know, I'm a little too prideful. I just didn't let anybody know. I just acted like I was just doing a slow trot around for my home run. I didn't tell anyone. I kind of whispered to my wife at one point. I was like, I think I popped a muscle in my leg. And I'm like, I can make it through the rest of the game. And I just kind of, I make it. I grit my teeth and I fight my way through. And I get to my next at bat and I'm like, I could probably kick one more home run. Stupid. That was my left leg earlier. I go to kick, and my right leg, as I kick, pop. Both of them popped. I mean, I've never had this happen to me before. I go home, and I just, like, I'm sitting there, and, like, I can't get off the couch. And my wife, Pastor Steph, is like, oh, you're really in pain. She's like, at first she'd ask me to go let the dog out. I was like, I don't think I can do it. You got to go. I'm like, I wake up this morning. I couldn't wake up. I couldn't get out of bed. Nothing. But I'm telling you what, I've been here all morning, and just being in the house and being in his word, I'm just like, all right, I'm feeling bouncy. I'm feeling bouncy right now. His word brings healing. His word brings deliverance. Just get into his presence this week. In the name of Jesus, he's going to meet you there. He wants to meet you there. Open up his word and let him speak. He's going to change your life this week. Man, let's pray. Let's pray. What's it say? It says, give him thanks. If you keep going there in Psalm 107, we're going to give him thanks right now. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Just begin to thank him. Thank him. Just say it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Declare it with your mouth. Declare it. Thank the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice to give him thanks. Sometimes we just go on and go on, and we never stop to give him thanks. And we just go about our day and we take him for granted. Everything he's done, everything he's provided, the clothes we wear, the food we ate this morning, the coffee we drank, the air conditioning in the room that you're dwelling in, and you just take him for granted. Give him thanks for every little thing. Every little thing, every great thing. Never stop giving him thanks. Don't stop. And declare his works with rejoicing. I just had to declare his works today. I was like, it just hit me as I got up here and as I was jumping in worship. I was like, I feel too good right now. I'm ready for another game of kickball. Thank you, Lord. I'll stretch next time, Lord. I'm sorry. Hey, let's pray. Would you just lift your hands to heaven as we give him thanks? Lord, we declare right now as one body. Just say it. Body, just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. Lord, we thank you for meeting us here in this moment. We thank you for meeting us here in worship. We thank you for meeting us in prayer. That we would just set a time to be with you this week. That we would get into the quiet place. That we get into the secret place. And that we would just dwell with you there. And that we would wait on you. That we would be still and know that you are God. Lord, I know that you're going to meet some people today. You're going to meet some people this week. And you're going to move powerfully. And they're going to open up the word. And you're going to bring healing and deliverance to their life. You're going to begin to set them free from everything that's been afflicting them, everything that's been oppressing them in their marriage, in their life, in their dwelling place, in their health. Lord, I'm just praying for healing, freedom, and deliverance in your name, Jesus. Today, we declare, all God's people said, amen. All right. Now let's get into more of the word. Let's get into more of the word. He's good. My goodness, Brennan, you stewarded such a moment today. I was, while the worship team was leading us in that Be Exalted song, just the presence of the Holy Spirit began to drop and hit me. And I knew something is going on here. Something is different right now. And in my soul and in my mind, I had this little temptation to go find you because I knew you were hosting today and just to come up to you and say, don't miss this moment. Like, don't miss this moment. But then I knew in my spirit, he was telling me, you don't need to say a thing. He's not going to miss this moment. I've already told him. It was that little bit of fear and that little bit of, you kind of want control and you kind of know this is a special, this is a holy moment. Lord, I don't want to miss this. And I felt that fear of people missing it in the room. And I just felt the Holy Spirit saying, I've got Brennan. He knows. And you didn't miss. You listened to his voice and you led us into a moment that this house needed. And so I want to thank you for that. I want to honor you for that, Brennan. That was special. It's just learn to listen to his voice and just in your soul, in your mind, your will, your emotions, where fear tries to get a foothold, just learn to quiet that voice and turn up the volume on the Holy Spirit's voice. Well, how do I do that, Pastor? Begin to get alone with him. Begin to get alone with him. And don't just go to him seeking something. Don't just go to him being like, okay, I just need an answer to this prayer. I got a list of things, and Lord, I just need you to do this, this, and this. I got a checklist. Just go and be with him. Just go and be with him. Amen. Like, come into the moment. Just come in and be with him. Stop just going to the Father with your list, your to-do list, and saying, hey, here's what I need for the week. No. Just slow down and be with him. Slow down this week. First Kings 19, verse 19. This is the story of Elijah after he was on the run from Jezebel, who wanted him dead. If you walk in the prophetic, there will be evil spirits that will want you dead. The battle's not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities of the darkness in this world. And so you need to understand that there's going to be people that will want you dead as you learn to listen to his voice and walk with him. And you're like, well, that seems a little extreme. No. If you're really walking with him and you're really listening to his voice and walking in obedience, I'm telling you, there will come a day when there will be people that are not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, but another spirit. And those spirits want God's people, especially his prophets, dead and buried in a grave. And so Jezebel wants Elijah dead. And God gives Elijah a download of what's to come. And one of the things is to raise up the next prophet. And so it says, Elijah, he departed from there and he found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Like, just imagine that for a moment. You're out just farming. You're out just working the cows, and some dude just comes and throws a cloak on you, throws a mantle on you, and you're like, it's already hot enough out here. I don't know if I want to wear this also. But what's it say? It says, right then and there, he left the oxen, and he ran after Elijah. I mean, you got to be ready. In the world of God, you have to understand, like, sometimes we just want things to look normal, like, oh, you know, I sat down for a job interview and this guy and I had a great conversation and he hired me. No, in the world of God, some random guy comes by and throws a mantle on you while you're working and just expects you to know what to do with it. And he's like, I've been hired. Like, he drops everything and he runs after him. This guy just keeps on going. He throws the mantle and just keeps on going. He has to run after him to catch him. Are you willing to drop everything and run after him? Are you willing to drop everything and run after what the Holy Spirit is calling you into today? Will you run after him? It says he left the oxen and ran after Elijah. Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Weirdest job interview ever. So Elisha turned back from him, and he took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. He burned his old life to the ground. All of his provision, everything he had ever known, everything he'd ever done, that was his business, that was his way of life, and he made sure there'd be no temptation to go back to it because God had called him into a new season. And some of you, you've been called into a new season, but you're still trying to hold on to the old season. You're still holding on to that relationship, and you're kind of like, well, if God doesn't bring me somebody better that's really following him, at least I got this girl or this guy, and they kind of love Jesus. They came to church once. I think maybe they, like, you know, got baptized as a baby, like something. And you're kind of holding on to this safety net. Some of you, he's called you into a new season and you're holding on to the old job still. You're still there holding on. And he's saying, no, I want to set you free from that because I got something better. Would you say yes to him today? Would you run after him today? My goodness, I don't know if I sound mad. I'm just excited for you. Like, I'm sorry, I'm just passionate for you. It's a mantle. He's giving you a mantle today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's a new season ahead of you. And it's going to be better. It's just hard to let go of the old season because it's all you knew. And it was comfortable. Like, this isn't a young guy right here. Like, this is a grown man with a job, and he's got invested. You know, he's invested. He's got a lot of oxen, and he's got yokes, and he's got it all, and he's probably doing pretty well. And he burns it all. It says, whatever God's got for me is better than what I've built on my own. Some of you, you've built up a resume. You've built up a career, but you kind of know the Holy Spirit's calling you into something new in this next season. And you're just kind of holding on. Oh my goodness, I remember the resume I built at the church I used to be at. I mean, I was a big deal in the youth ministry world. I was a big deal. I was speaking at conferences and camps and, you know, just in Nebraska, but still, you know, I was a big deal. I shouldn't say just in Nebraska. Nebraska, it's the heart of this country. And I still believe God is working on revival in the heart of this country, and it's going to spread its way out to every corner. So don't just let it be just Nebraska. This is a special place. This is the heart and soul of this country, and the Holy Spirit's doing a great work here. You're a part of it. You're in it. If you're planted in this house, he's called you to it. And I'm telling you something, in this next season, he's given you a new mantle. He's promoting people in this season. And some of you are stepping out of what you thought was a good thing. Well, now you're stepping into a God thing, and it's going to be better. And so I remember this resume I had built, and I was, you know, Pastor Andrew and I, we even, like, there's this national thing called DYM, and you can, like, you know, you can download youth ministry games and lessons on there, and we put a lot of our stuff out there, and they were like, you know, they loved us. We were a big deal. Nationally, people were downloading our game. You know, I'm just like, it's just kind of silly, right? It's kind of stupid. I was just holding on to a bunch of yoke and a bunch of oxen, but I was like, this is cool. This is awesome. And then all of a sudden, one day you get fired because guess what? I knew the Lord had called me a couple different times to step into a moment of faith, But there's just a little bit of me holding on to my yoke and oxen. And he said, you won't burn it? I'll burn it for you. And then grab hold of what I got for you next. Learn to listen to my Holy Spirit. This has been the best season of my life. This has been the best season of my marriage. This has been the best season of parenting. I've got more now than I ever could have imagined 4 or 5 years ago when I thought I was building something and working towards something where I was. I've got more freedom. I've got more blessing. I've got healing. Like the Holy Spirit, I get to experience healing. Like I'm getting to experience more and more of his voice that I didn't know was possible. I went from just having to go to worship to I get to go to worship. I went from, oh, it's just a job to, oh my goodness, it's a calling and I'm blessed and I'm thank you. I thank the Lord every day I get to do this. It went from I have to do this to I get to do this. That's what he wants to take you into. You might be in a season of, oh, I have to. I believe he's calling you into a season of I get to. I get to do this. I get to wake up. I get to breathe his air. I get to step into this new mantle he created for me. Don't miss the mantle. He loves you. He's for you, not against you. He burned it all. He gave it to the people that ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and what? Became his servant. This was a man who owned his own business. He was his own boss. And all of a sudden, he became a servant. And some of you are thinking that right now. You're like, I got it pretty good right now. I don't think it could be better if I step into what I believe God is calling me into. It actually seems like maybe I'd be taking a step down. I might be losing out on money. I might be losing out on prestige. I might be losing out on some things. You don't understand yet fully what he can step you into when you learn how to serve first. I believe he wants to bring you into a season of servanthood before you get to fully step into the mantle he's created for you. And some of you, that's what you're in right now. Everybody in here, you're in a different season. And so there's some of you, he's teaching you what it means to walk through a season of serving. And you're like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. There isn't enough for me. I'm not provided for. This is too low of work. I'm too good for this. And the devil's just trying to whisper to you and get you bitter so he can get you out of your assignment so that you will miss your mantle. Don't miss your mantle season because you weren't willing to live out your serving season. Don't miss your mantle season. If you're taking notes, there you go. Don't miss your mantle season because you weren't willing to live out your serving season. You were looking for a shortcut. Like the fig tree that had leaves, and Jesus came up to it and thought, oh, it'll have fruit. But it was pretending to be something it wasn't supposed to be yet. It wasn't the season for figs, but it was acting like it. It was pretending it was. Don't miss it because you're pretending to be something that you're not yet. You got to learn it first in serving, and then he'll build you up, and you'll be able to step into the mantle season in a way you never thought possible. It'll bless your marriage. It'll bless your home. It'll bless your kids. It'll bless your spouse, and it will bless you in every area of life. As you walk in and as you walk out, everywhere you go, he walks ahead of you, and he protects you from behind. His Holy Spirit is going to walk with you in this season. Will you learn to serve? There was just a little bit you didn't like that. That's okay. You'll learn to like it. You'll learn to love to serve. Just begin to ask the Holy Spirit, what are you calling me to? What is it? Where am I supposed to serve in this season? How can I serve you, Lord? Let me show you what happens for those that serve. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. If you're following along, just the next book. We're in 1 Kings, now we're going to 2 Kings. Okay? And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, like he doesn't even have to experience death. He gets to get taken up by a whirlwind into heaven. It says that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. Loyalty. Loyalty will bring you from a season of serving into a season of picking up your mantle? Will you be loyal? Will you be loyal to the King? Will you be loyal and honor the King, the Holy Spirit, His voice, His word in your life in every area, even the areas that you don't feel so good about and that you don't really want to give over to Him? Will you be loyal and honor the King in your life? Will you be loyal and honor those who God has placed in leadership above you and learn to serve them and follow them loyally? Loyalty will promote you. There you go. There's notes. Loyalty will promote you. It will. In your job, in your workplace, in your home, loyalty will raise you up into new places. Loyalty and honor, you can't have one without the other. You can't say you're a person that understands honor if you don't understand loyalty. They are directly connected in Scripture. Will you be loyal to the King? Will you honor the King? Will you follow His voice? Will you listen to Him? Elisha was loyal to the very end. 2 Kings 6, it says, Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please." He keeps telling him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the Jordan. But he said, "As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Sometimes loyalty is tested. Did Elijah really want Elisha to leave, or was he testing, "Will you follow me to the very end? Will you follow him to the very end? Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly, you're in that serving season. And you're like, "It's never going to end. It's never going to end. I'm always going to be following this guy. I'm always going to be working for this guy. I'm never going to get to pick up my mantle and walk into everything God's created for me." Suddenly, you just wait for your suddenly. It's about to happen. Just wait for your suddenly. It will come any day now. It will come any second now. Suddenly, a chariot of fire. He's the God of suddenly. Suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, and he tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. And he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that. And Elisha crossed over. This was a crossover moment. If you'll wait for your suddenly moment, you'll get a crossover moment. You might not like the season you're in, but if you'll stay loyal and faithful to the Lord our God, I'm telling you, there's going to be a changing of the guard. There's going to be a moment where the mantle is passed and there's a crossing over into a new season. If you'll stay loyal to His voice and follow the whisper of the Lord, there'll be a moment where you get to cross over into a new season. Some of you, you've already experienced it. Praise the Lord. Like, since you've been planted in this house of revival, you've had this moment where you knew, "My goodness, I crossed over. He parted the waters for me, and I went from my old life and my old season, and He blessed me to step into this new life, this new season, this new calling, and this new mantle." And the clothes are different that you wear. You wear robes of righteousness in this new season. You carry a different kind of joy about you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. He loves you. He's called you for this season. Don't miss it. Don't miss the mantle. 2 Kings 3. We go in to this life and ministry. This is the very beginning of the life and ministry of Elisha. I need you to see this today. Some of you are like, "Man, this is so much scripture." Well, guess what? If you came in and you were hurting or sick, well, guess what? This is bringing healing to you. So praise the Lord. You're getting healed today. His word brings healing. And you're like, how is this bringing healing? My goodness, just start to take hold of it. Take hold of the promises of God. He's got healing for you today. He's got deliverance for you today. Some of you, you need to know this because you're a little bit discouraged. You feel like you keep serving and nothing good comes out of it. 2 Kings 3, here's what's going on. So the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. These three kings, they get together and they marched on a roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army nor for the animals that followed them. And the king of Israel said, "Alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." We all came together. We thought things were going to be good, and now we don't even have water. We're going to get delivered into the Moabites' hands. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" When you don't know what to do, you go to the prophets. You go to the Lord. So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah." That was his job. He was a servant. He wasn't known for the miracles and the wonders that God had worked through Elijah. He was just known that he served Elijah, that he poured water on the hands of Elijah. It was so simple. You feel like you are in a season that you are built for more, and what you're doing right now, it's not what you've been built for, what you've been created for. You're like, it's too simple. It's beneath me. This is so beneath me. There's some of you moms that you're like, I'm called and I'm gifted and I got all these gifts and I need to share them and I need to do something. And you're like, the devil's trying to tempt you right now and believe that what you've been called for and created for is actually greater than what you're doing. I'm too good to be changing these diapers. I'm too good to just be doing this and doing whatever. It's like, no. One of the greatest things you can do is raise children. Like, don't let the devil try to discourage you in this season and make you believe that raising children is beneath you or beneath anyone. It's one of the greatest honors and joys. And I'm telling you, there are women in this world that would give anything to be able to be in the season that you're in. But the devil is whispering to you lies of discouragement and saying, oh, you're made for more than this. This is beneath you. This is lowly work. Nobody sees you. Nobody appreciates you. Your husband doesn't realize what you're doing. Nobody knows. That's the lie of the devil. And when that comes, you take that thought captive and you make it obedient to Christ Jesus. You say, no, devil, there's nothing greater. I've been created for this. You've been created for this, moms. You have. Don't let the devil win in this season. Dads, keep speaking life over your wives. Keep praising them for the gift of God they are to your family. The gift of God they are to your kids. It's an honor and a privilege what you get to do in this season. Don't let the devil's lies get in and get a foothold in your life. You have gifts. You have great abilities. There are things that he's called you into, but it's not for this season. Enjoy this season right now. Moms with new babies, the Holy Spirit just keeps bringing you back and back just every week. If you've been here the last 3 weeks, you know I just keep calling this out, but I want to encourage you. Moms with little kids, you're just first-time moms. This is one of the greatest honors and privileges you can step into. You're blessed. You're blessed to be able to step into this in this season. You are. It's an honor and a privilege. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't grow discontent with the season he's called you to right here, right now. Keep pouring the water. It might be lowly work. It might be simple work, but it prepares you for when he calls you into your mantle season. Because guess what? This king, Jehoshaphat, knew, oh my goodness, this guy was the guy pouring water on the hands of Elijah. He was with Elijah. He was with the man who was walking with the presence of the living God. The anointing was on him. The oil was on Elijah's life. And so he knew just being in proximity to the oil, to the presence of the Lord, had changed him. Even though all he had ever done up to that point was pour water, he knew this man is set apart. And in this season, we need him. Jehoshaphat said, "The word of the Lord is with him." So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Can you serve for a season? You have to go through the servant season before you go through your mantle season, before you cross over. Learn to serve in this season. Worship team, you can come up. 2 Kings 4. Then he said, this is Elisha. We're still going through the life and ministry of Elisha. We just moved on a couple chapters later. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. All I want you to see right there, all I've got highlighted in my notes, is 2 Kings 4 lists off and names the very next servant of the prophet. We had Elijah, who called Elisha to be his servant, and now Elisha has his servant, Gehazi. You need to catch this. We don't just have his name for no reason. It's important. Everything in Scripture is important. Every detail, every name, there's so much significance. Even in the books that you think, oh man, that sounds weird, that sounds strange, I don't get that, I just kind of like the New Testament. No, everything's important. Everything matters. The entire book matters. It's his living word. He lists off and names Gehazi, his servant. So now you got this guy who's pouring water on the hands of Elisha. He's the servant, right? The work of the servant continues. And what happens? A man named Naaman, a man of high prestige, comes from a faraway land. He's afflicted with leprosy, so he comes seeking the prophet Elisha to receive healing from his God, Yahweh. Elisha sends a messenger to him. He doesn't even go see him. He just sends a messenger. And he tells him, hey, just go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. And he's reluctant and he's prideful. And he's like, why would I do that? I came for a miracle. And you just want me to go dip in some dumb river? But one of his servants convinces him, what if you just tried it? And he goes and he tries it. And he ends up being completely, miraculously healed and restored. The leprosy falls off his body and he is restored and made new. 2 Kings 5 says this. He returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Elisha said, no. We're not taking a gift. We're not taking it. So Naaman, he ends up asking for some of the dirt from Israel so he can take it back home to him, so he can lay it down, so he can be reminded spiritually that everywhere he goes, that the God of Israel, Yahweh, is the one true God. And that when he bows, even though he serves another master who serves another God, he knows that when he bows on the dirt of Yahweh. And so he goes to leave. And it says this in verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take 2 talents. And he urged him, and he bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments. And he handed them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Some of you have kids like this. You know what they did. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't do anything. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you? when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you. Is it time? Is it time? Will you learn? My goodness, this church is learning to discern the seasons. He's showing us the time in this season. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Is it the time yet for that? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow. And Gehazi is never mentioned by name again in Scripture. And no other servant of Elisha after that moment is mentioned by name. It wasn't just one man that missed a mantle. It was an entire generation of Israelites that missed the mantle of Elijah being passed down from Elisha to Gehazi. Don't miss a mantle in this season. Would you stand up, church? Don't miss a mantle in this season. He's got mantles coming down. Don't miss it because you think serving is beneath you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Serving wasn't beneath the King. It's not beneath us. My goodness, would you just put your hands out to receive today? Would you receive the mantle he's got for you? I don't know what season you're stepping into, but Lord Jesus, I just pray right now that you would just speak a word to your servants, that you would let them know what season they're stepping into. Is it a season of serving? Or perhaps some of them have been serving for this past season, and now it's time to cross over. It's time to pick up their mantle and cross over into all that you have for them. And Lord Jesus, we just praise you and we thank you. We thank you for Megan, who is crossing over today in the waters of baptism, who gives her life to you, Jesus, who dies to her old self and is raised new. And we give you all the glory, Lord. We thank you for mantles. We thank you for the gift and honor and privilege to serve in whatever season we're in. And Lord, I pray that a generation wouldn't miss the mantle of Elijah, wouldn't miss the mantle of your Son Christ as we step into what you've called us to and created us for such a time as this. And all God's people said, woo! Let's worship, let's worship, worship. You won't get a mantle unless you learn how to worship. Let's learn how to worship in this season. Come on.